Ready when you are.
Okay, we're going to call this meeting to order. This is the Moapa Valley Town Advisory Board. We'll start by our opening invocation by Vernon Robinson. All rise.
Our Father, we're grateful for this community. We're grateful for our opportunity to live here and to associate with neighbors, and grateful for the goodness of this community. Grateful for this opportunity to have to discuss community matters in this forum. We ask you to bless those who lead us here, to be wise and to be able to communicate well, and help us in, as a community, that we may understand the things that are before us. Help us to be able to discuss things in a civil and decent way. And we say these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Remain standing. Larry Griffiths will give us the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Okay, I'm Marjorie Holland. I'm the chair of the Moapa Valley Town Advisory Board.
I'm Kristen Pearson. I'm the vice chair.
I'm Pete Houston. I'm a member of the Town Advisory Board.
Megan Porter, board member.
And Lois Hall is excused. She's ill. The first thing is public comment. This is devoted to public comment on, not on, or on items on this agenda that you don't have time to stay for the full meeting. And if you don't have time to stay, you can get up now and speak your piece. You'll be limited to 3 minutes each, and you step up to the speaker's podium, you state your name, you spell your last name for the record, and your address. Are there anybody that wants to, that can't stay for the whole meeting, that wants to talk now? Nope. Okay. Okay, approval of the June 12, 2019 minutes.
Do I hear a motion?
Okay. Motion is for approval. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Do you abstain from voting?
I voted.
No, maybe.
Yeah.
You?
I heard you.
Okay.
Quiet.
Okay. Okay, approval of the agenda for July 10th, 2019. Do I hear a motion for that?
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda for today for the July 10th, 2019.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. We have informational items, volunteers needed to transport senior citizens to and from doctor's appointment for discussion only. Cindy is not here from the senior center, is she?
Madam Chair, I think that Amelia was going to ask me to bring it up. There's a great need for seniors to be driven to doctor's appointments, and right now I think they have two fellows who volunteer to do it, and they're not always available. They have their own doctor's appointments to do, so we could get the word out. Maybe our friend at the newspaper would do something, and social media, for all the garbage that's on social media, if anybody wants to mention, volunteer and help an elderly person. They have the vehicle from RTC, so you're not taking your own car, you're taking theirs, but there's really a need.
And they have a short period of training, Amelia was saying. They have a short period of training for whoever drives them.
Yeah, it'd be worth going over and talking to the senior center, you know, because there's other folks who are home, retired, or whatever they're doing, and if you could help out one day a week or 2 days a month, it would be greatly appreciated.
That's what Larry's here for, too, isn't it?
I think it is.
Yeah, it is.
I got a call text today, and they asked me to be here tonight.
Yeah.
May I address?
You sure can.
Yes, please.
Uh, Larry Griffiths representing JustServe.org. From what I was understanding, I think that Cindy probably wanted to have something put on JustServe. In order to do that, we would have to have a sponsoring organization. Mm-hmm. And, of course, United Citizens could be that organization. Mm-hmm. I'll get in contact with her and talk with her about that. And then we'll get someone trained from that organization to be the administrator. And I'll show them how to do that. They can then post that on their website through JustServe.org. And I'll support them any way that I can.
All right. Thank you.
Any questions of me? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Planning and zoning, we have nothing. General business, review FY 2018-2019 budget request and take public input regarding suggestions for FY 2020 and 2021 for discussion and possible action.
I don't think any of them have them.
You don't think any of them have what?
So I'll go first, Madam Chair. We talked at the last meeting about possibly putting a cover over the arena. Mm-hmm. And I was able to get the liaison for Gibson to send us Horseman's Park covered arena. It was $4.7 million.
Wow.
Just so you know.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
It would be that much.
Yeah. That's about what Gene was thinking.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, you know, everything was existing and they just put a cover over it.
Yeah.
So it's here if you want to take a look at it. And of course, as we've said before, if someone else wants to build it that's not affiliated with the county and then donate it, the cost would be probably less than half that.
Probably.
Probably. Mm-hmm. So, okay. A big number.
It is a big number. Did not expect that.
And covering the existing arena, they said that having the arena open during winter months is desired. So no cover on the arena?
Yeah, I wasn't exactly sure what that meant.
I didn't know either. I don't remember hearing that.
I don't remember.
It's not. This that. Isn't something you can take down.
Right.
It's permanent.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know the exact size of ours versus theirs, and I don't know exactly that everything... But they're just, and Gene knows better than anybody, there are things that kick in when you want to improve something.
Yeah.
Other things come along, and we can ask for waivers for things, but I just think it's best to weigh the majority of people to where you're going to spend your money. If 20% of the people in the entire valley use it, and 60% of the people use something else, it's your decision. So we can, you know, doesn't mean we can't add it, but I don't know where, you know, when we come time to prioritize,
mm-hmm.
where you want it to fall. And then Amelia wrote me a note. Is there a, where's the gal's name? Something about pickleball courts? Is somebody here to talk about pickleball?
I don't think anybody's here to talk about pickleball courts. What they wanted to do was
Denise
transform
Boyd.
Overton's Park's basketball courts into pickleball courts, and somebody said that you can use the basketball court as a dual purpose for pickleball and for basketball.
To keep it both?
To keep it as a both of a both things.
Okay.
All you have to do is put a net up.
Yeah, you just have to put a net up in the center because pickleball is kind of like badminton or tennis or whatever. Played with a fuzzier ball is what I was told, or a fuzzier bird or whatever.
So that's maybe not something we need to add to our budget request then.
It can be something that would be pretty cheap to do is all
okay.
I'm saying.
Just painting okay.
And so to make it so they could do both would not be that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. They'd have to put something where they could put the nets up and
voila.
You're there playing pickleball. Mm-hmm.
All right, so you want to add it?
Sure, let's put it on there. It's probably something we could actually get done. It'll be cheap.
Under Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is anything on there for there right now? No,
607. But, yeah, we can try to come up with a cost for that.
Okay. Is that all we're going to discuss on that? Yes, Janice?
Yeah.
And I think that you got things put together, like finish the ball field and play area for the chill, that shape for the bleachers and the misters. But I got fix the bleachers over here.
On Parks and Rec?
Yeah, and then with, you know, shape and misters. And I'm not all that concerned about the shape and misters, but I would really like to see the bleachers fixed so that they got an area walk area down below so that people aren't walking in front of the people that are sitting watching the rodeo.
Right.
They could move that back and put a walkway in with stairs going up and then have a ramp just in the area for the handicap and then build a real handicap area.
Okay. It seems to me that she's just combined everything on page one because number three is fix and cover the rodeo arena, and it's two under parks, and then there's six under parks and three under others. So I think the front page is a combination of the back page. Mm-hmm. And I think we talk about this one more time. I think it's three consecutive agendas we need to discuss it, and if you all want to recategorize. Ball fields are always number one, though, aren't they?
Have been for a long time.
Yeah.
So we good?
Yep, I'm good.
Do we need to make a motion again, or?
Discussion only. Nope, motion's the next meeting, I think.
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay. Anybody?
Anybody in the audience want to mention or talk about this at all? No? Okay. Okay, we'll go on to the next general business, Moapa Valley Fire District update for discussion and possible action. You're up, Mr. Neal.
Stephen Neal, Fire Chief from Moapa Valley Fire District.
Yay!
Just want to come provide an update of the district and the separation. As of 2 weeks ago, we finally fully separated from Clark County Fire Department. The last piece of the puzzle of the pie was to separate EMS. Our medical director has been approved, the contract's been signed, and so we have our own medical director. We just got our own ambulance license that's issued through the Southern Nevada Health District, so we have everything that has that completed that pie for EMS separation.
Who's the new medical director?
His name is Ryan Hodnick.
He's a doctor?
He's a doctor, and he actually is the only medical director in Southern Nevada that did an EMS fellowship.
Oh, wow.
He's still a National Registered Paramedic, mm-hmm. and so his main focus is on EMS, which is why I picked him, because I want somebody who can grow us, because a lot of what we do is EMS, and somebody that can grow our EMS division out here. And part of his contract, which I've never had done, I've been a paramedic for 15 years. I've never had a medical director come and train me. Mm-hmm. A medical director that I've had in the past is somebody who signs my certificate every 2 years, mm-hmm. I have to recertify. But our medical director put in the contract where he comes out here and trains us twice a year. So he'll be on site twice a year training us. He's going to review all of our reports, which is a big relief of, you know, something I have to do and something he can review and see where we can improve on. And then he could base his training off of the review of those reports on what he sees that we're seeing a lot of as far as calls and what we can improve on. And then he could tweak his training to the needs of the departments. Right. So believe it or not, the health district actually is, they're really excited for a medical director because of his background. And so with that being said, now he and I will both have a seat on what's called the Medical Advisory Board. So for each transporting agency, the fire chief or the designee and the medical director has a seat, and that's where all the decisions are made for EMS. So we'll have a say where we haven't had in the past for, because everyone for Southern Nevada, all the agencies are in Las Vegas. So what their main focus is urban EMS, and so we never had a voice for rural EMS. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of policies that are in play that don't really apply to us and or hinder us. So there's things that we can do now with the Medical Advisory Board is we can pitch those ideas and make us specific to rules where they don't apply in urban. You know, there's medications we can add, procedures we can add that can provide better, higher level service to your community just because of the larger transport times that we have. You know, there's a lot of different, you know, Vegas, anywhere you're at, you're 5-10 minutes away from a hospital. Or here, you're depending on what way you're going, you know, you're half hour to an hour away. So EMS is finally separated, so we're totally on our own now as far as that goes. Any questions on that? All right. So I implemented a trial for a rapid response vehicle. I believe I briefed the board on that last time I came and spoke. That was very successful. We have seen our times decrease rapidly. We're able to get somebody on scene about half the time now. You know, it's not always in service, but when it is in service, we cut our times in half. We also have used it on our fire calls. In the last month, we've had 4 structural fires. I don't know if you follow our Facebook page, but on there we post our structural fires. We've had 4 in the last month. And 2 of them were able to get there, and they're in, the rapid response vehicle is in service. We were able to get there both times. The first one was 2.5 minutes, and the second one was in 3.5 minutes. And the one 2.5 minutes was 1 o'clock in the morning. So waking up, getting dressed, get into the vehicle. And those both started in the garage.
Was that Susan Waite's house?
No.
No,
this is 2 different homes. But both of them started in the garage and we were able to contain it in the garage. Mm-hmm. One was a freestanding garage with a setback of 5 feet from the main home. And I was actually the one operating it and the fire was just coming out of the door. So I was able to provide a water curtain between the house until more apparatus got there and able to put out the fire to protect the main house. And if that rapid response vehicle was in play, that fire would have spread to that main house just because of the response times. So we discussed as a board. The board has decided to implement it full time now. I just wrote the policy for it and in the process of putting that policy into play. So that's going to be a permanent thing in the valley. I mentioned we have seen a big increase in structure fires and also wildland fires. That's something that this last winter is really wet. You can see there's a lot more brush growing, a lot more weeds growing on people's properties. It's been an issue. Our last fire in Moapa was started from a guy just using a chop saw, cutting a piece of metal, and one spark went outside his garage and caught a weed on fire. And it spread. We were there for 12 hours just from one spark, from a spark and dry brush. So something that we're concerned about this fire season, it's hot, it's dry, there's a lot of, we call it fuel, a lot of vegetation out there. So we're concerned that, you know, we've already seen an increase in our call volume for our fires. So we expect that to continue due to the increase in the fire load. Something that I'm in the process of implementing also is a reserve program. Is what we're doing is bringing in people from Las Vegas and have them come out here and do an 8-12-hour shifts to help cover the day shifts when we have a hard time filling in positions when our citizens are working. Right now I have 5 people that are signed up for the reserve program, and every day I'm getting inquiries for applications. And it's starting to take off. And everyone is EMTs already, which is the biggest thing right now. So we need EMTs to staff our rescues. That's going to be, I anticipate being very successful. It's something that I've modeled after what Mesquite has done with their program, just to kind of supplement what they have going on, you know, in their community from outside areas. And then we're going to be starting EMT program here in the next couple of months. Looks like we're going to have CSN come out and teach the class for us. And then once that EMT class. We have about 15 people right now that's going to be taking that class. It's going to last about 5 to 6 months, is the class. And once that's done, we'll have 15 new members that can start running on the ambulance as EMTs. And then once that's done, we're going to start our Firefighter 1 program. In the past, we have what's called exterior firefighter, and that's what we did under Clark County Fire. And I went away with that program, and I, now that we're separated, a lot of weight is on my shoulders. You know, the safety of my guys and gals that are, you know, fighting fire. And one way that I can mitigate the risk involved in fighting fire is through training. I take training very seriously, so I want to make sure that everyone's trained properly and not just cutting corners to get them, you know, in somebody's yard with pulling a hose, fighting a fire. I want to make sure they're trained properly, have proper PPE, the personal protection equipment, and make sure that we're doing things right. So we're going to start that after the EMT class. I'm bringing on an instructor who's a captain for City, the Las Vegas Fire Department. He has a master's degree in education and has a whole list of fire certifications, including live fire instructor. So he can help us progress that program. And then Mesquite has offered up their training facility in Mesquite. They have a training tower that we're going to use for that. And so a lot has been developing since I've last been here, but I'm very, very happy with the direction we're going. We've been able to purchase things quicker. We're able to do things that are relative to our community where we haven't been able to because of policies that are in play in Las Vegas with Clark County Fire Department. And, you know, like yesterday, I made a purchase for EMS supplies and it'll be here tomorrow, where it was taking us a month and a half to get EMS supplies. So we've been able to streamline the process and get things done quicker, faster, and that can better our community. So, anybody have any questions?
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the next thing is comments by the general public. And I know we've got some BLM people here that want to talk, so we'll let them talk now.
Hello, everyone. Lee Kirk, acting monument manager for Gold Butte National Monument. I'm here tonight just to give you some updates on some of the things we're doing in Gold Butte. The first thing, I'll kind of give you an update. When I did that presentation back in February, any information about it, there's some cultural sites in Gold Butte. We're looking at putting some recreational amenities to help protect those sites. I went to a few other town board meetings, met with the tribes, did some field trips. We gathered all that information, started to develop some alternatives, and now we're in the process of getting a draft environmental assessment. We're reviewing it. Our contractor who is helping with this process has drafted it. We're kind of reviewing it. The tribe's also reviewing it. We hope to have that draft out for public comment review sometime either end of August or sometime in September. So I'll come back during that time as well, let you guys know where we're at, but how to make comments and whatnot, and what kind of the alternatives are, kind of explain what's in the alternatives. There's not a lot of different changes. The project really just looks at kiosks, possible bathrooms, and some trails, so it's not a very complicated project, but it's a pretty neat project. So I'll keep you guys up to date on that process.
So the bathroom's going to be in Whitney Pockets, or where are you doing those?
We've proposed bathrooms at Whitney Pocket, Kirk's Grotto, and Falling Man. Now, we're just going to analyze bathrooms, knowing the reality that we're not probably ever going to get a bathroom at Kirk's Grotto, maybe Falling Man, or we may have temporary bathrooms. We're also looking at temporary bathrooms now based on some of the information we got. Maybe there's ones that are kind of like a wooden kind of box with a bucket underneath it, so it's temporary. You can just basically move the bucket and replace it with another bucket and a big bucket. So there are different things we can do in the more remote areas. But like Whitney Pocket would definitely be something we're considering to have a full wall toilet.
Something we did with Pick is we put during the busy weekends, we put trash big ones out there. You guys thinking about doing something like that so that we can mitigate that?
No, I thought about that sometime when I worked at Red Rock Canyon. When we put trash cans out, it actually made worse. Sometimes if you don't get out there, then people just start leaving trash on the side when it fills up.
It This wasn't a trash can. This was
like
where
a big dumpster.
They call it out on a big truck and bring, set it off there. It's like a yard.
Yeah, you know, I never really thought about it on that sense. I guess we've never. I guess it seems like pretty clean. I guess we have because our volunteers go out pretty good clean. But
they pack it out and take it out. But we just did that because there was a lot of people that used that. Like in May, you'll have a lot of people out there and camping and stuff. And
we could definitely consider that. And part of all too, I mentioned when I did the presentation, and I don't think you were here then. We are proposing to have the bathrooms, like especially up in any pocket. And we're still going through the process to decide that, but we'll definitely make sure before we install the bathrooms that we have the funding in place to maintain them. And that's one thing I have funding to, at this point, if we do bathrooms, to build them. But there's nothing 100% in place for us to keep them cleaned, serviced, and those things. So that's something we're going to have to start thinking about before we do anything and make sure. And also for future planning, we're making sure we put a bathroom in a spot that if we do future planning, it doesn't get in the way. We have to, if we ever expand that campground or improvements to it. So a lot of things we're going to have to consider through that process. So we're kind of general when it comes to that we're going to do a bathroom and exactly where. If a few alternative places where we'd put it around that camping area at Whitney Pocket, but we're still trying to decide to make sure, you know, we can service it. Kirk's Grotto, for instance, is a very farther away. That road gets washed out often. It's kind of remote, so maybe that temporary kind of bathroom is something we would do. But definitely Whitney Pocket might be the more big vault toilet. Just got to make sure we can keep it maintained. But thank you for the trash idea. We'll definitely consider on as your weekends, maybe as a, especially if use increase, that maybe we'll do that. I don't think that's a big issue to get that out there. We are still continuing to do directional signs. Friends of Gold View has funding through the OHV program. So we're going to be installing that probably over the next last 2 years. We're installing another 20 sometime in the fall. We have about 20 more that are coming in. So we're replacing some of the directional signs that have been damaged or adding new ones so along the backcountry byway. So that process is still going. So we continue to do that until that money runs out for that OHV program that they got. I gave you guys information about the Devil's Throat kiosk. So Friends of Gold Butte also got a grant from REI. So we have, that's the image that's going to be put out there to kind of let people see what the sinkhole is, because right now we put a fence around it, so it's further back. So let's at least hope to let people see a little bit more of what they used to be able to see. And so we hope we got to get that the kiosk constructed and installed. It'll be sometime again, probably in the fall, by the time we get that done. But we have our, for when our kiosk we're talking about. So National Public Lands Day, we're going to have a National Public Lands Day event out there. We're still kind of working on some of the details of what we're going to do. More than likely, part of that event will be installing the directional signs and that kiosk during that time period. So that's on the Saturday. We're still working out. Usually we start really early, so it's probably going to be pretty hot out there. We usually meet at the intersection of Backcountry Byway and the state route. I think it's 170. We meet there, but we're still working out the details, the time, what kind of projects we're going to do. But that'll be September 28th. It's National Public Lands Day. I'm sure they're going to have one at Arrow Lovendale as well, that they usually have every year. And then we are still working on a Junior Ranger book. That's just going to take some time. We've been drafting that. We had a teacher on the public lands helped us with that, but now we've kind of got to put all the information together, get it formatted, get it into a kind of a booklet and see how it's going to look, and then we probably have another 6 months to a year before that'll be finished. So it'll be a nice little project. Now I'm going to switch gears out of Gold Butte for a minute and give an update on the resource management plan revision. If you guys are familiar with that, that has been terminated.
Oh, doggone it.
What was terminated?
The resource management plan revision.
Keep your comments to yourself.
So, moving forward, it will, if we want more precise plan amendments, more project specific type of plan amendments, more like what we'll do. Our RMP, our area is so dynamic in this place, it keeps changing. New laws are coming in, different things are happening. When we first started the revision, there was a lot of things we wanted to do the revision for. A lot of those things happened. So, it was just determination that moving forward, we'll just do more precise amendments to this, more specific amendments to the RMP. So it has been terminated. So, and the last thing, just kind of give you guys an update, we have a new field manager for the Las Vegas field office. Some of you may know Gail Marsh Smith, she retired. Shauna Duman is now our new field manager for the Las Vegas field office. She She was here when I did the presentation in February. So she's been in Las Vegas about 16, 17 years. She was assistant field manager, so she knows all the issues and been here in our office for a long time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, my name is Janice Cutler, C-U-T-L-E-R. I'm from the BLM Grand Canyon Parashant National Monument in Arizona. Our office is in St. George. And we just wanted to let the neighboring areas know that we're going to have a wild burro roundup on the Parashant National Monument about 35 miles southeast of Mesquite, so east of Gold Butte. The gatherer's schedule, we don't have the exact dates, but it'll start somewhere at the end of July, around July 29th, and will run through the end of August or until they trap 40 burros. I mean, they could finish earlier. So the burros are going to be trapped off of public land, or off of, private land in the Seven Springs area, which is a private hen-holding within the monument in the Task Site Gold Butte Herd Management Area. Our most recent estimate, we did a flight and came up in 2017 with about 125 burros, and our management plan says we should have zero burros. So we finally got money. We've been holding our hand out. We got money just like last week and found out they said go get them. It'll be done by contract. They'll do trapping sites. They'll build a corral and then have hay or water or salt or something to chum them into the corral, and then it will just snap trap shut. We're not doing aircraft. We're not going to have helicopters or that kind of thing. They're not going to be treated and released with fertility control like they do with some of the horses. We're going to gather 40 of them. Hopefully all 40 of them, and then they'll be transported down to Florence Wild Horse and Burro Training Center in Florence, Arizona, which is near Phoenix, so they get along right through the desert. And then they'll be processed to be adopted. People tell me they're real popular for adoption, so that's good. Somebody will want them. When they get down there, the vet will check them. They'll gild the jacks and give them some shots and try and adopt them or sell them. In the event that there are cows or horses or livestock trapped, they're going to be released. That's not our target. Our target is to collect burros. It's not to deal with other problems that may or may not occur at this time. So let's see, I think that's it. Yeah, so on the private property is what we're doing. We have the landowner's permission to do that, and it'll be just a temporary corral. And is there any questions? I know you're kind of far west, but we thought we'd tell everybody.
No, we appreciate you coming and telling us.
Well, thanks for listening.
You're welcome.
I guess that's all, unless you want people have questions or if you want a business card or something, in case you want to contact.
I'd like you to leave one just in the event we get phone calls. Amelia will know who to put them to.
Okay, well, I have like my little notes.
That's
my
perfect.
Business card of that.
And you probably talked with Amelia anyway, didn't you?
I emailed with Amelia, right. So okay. She can contact me.
Perfect.
If she needs to.
Okay, Janice,
thank you. Well, thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, our next meeting is going to be July 31st, 2019, because it came up that it's not going to be August 14th on the, if you took one of the flyers from there. It's July 31st, 2019. It came in after she printed these flyers, so the next meeting is July 31st, and we'll consider this meeting adjourned.
Thank you all for coming.